Our scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 to 44, about the necessity for watchfulness. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Glad you're here today. And I would just put a little pitch in for Christmas Eve angels. I know that seems like an eternity, but it's coming up quick. And as someone who's here for the five services, I always see the need for help around the edges. And, you know, we have close to 2,000 people that will come that evening. Over half will be visitors. And so this is a way that we can offer our best to them in our hospitality. So sign up if you're going to be here to help on Christmas Eve. Thinking about that, you just have to say, wow, right? It's happened again. Thanksgiving has come and gone. Advent is here among us. And Christmas is just around the corner. And even though this happens to us every single year, it's hard not to feel like, what happened? How did this happen, right? It kind of catches up to you and surprises you. The holidays have a way of doing that. Did you know that it wasn't until the 6th century that the church added the Christmas celebration to its calendar? And along with that, 4 weeks of Advent as a time of preparation. The word Advent means coming. And so this season of Advent, from the very beginning, was a time to prepare for the coming of the Christ. Now I say that to remind us that we have a particular way of getting ready for Christmas. A particular way based on a particular view of life, if you will. A view of life that is fueled by hope. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning, a view of life fueled by hope. So what comes to mind for you when you think about hope? Like a lot of words that have a bigger meaning, more significance to them, sometimes we use the word hope in ways that don't quite do it justice. We say things like, I hope that meeting goes well, or I hope the doctor's report is a good one. Or, I hope Michigan beats Ohio State. Recently, our 12-year-old Honda Accord broke down along M72 as we were on our way to Kalkaska. Debbie was taking me and my bike there for the start of the Iceman race. But thanks to good friends, I got there in time and Debbie was able to get a ride. But I found myself saying things like, man, I hope I'm not late, or I hope what's going on with the car isn't too serious. We wound up putting a new engine in, by the way. And I hope Deb is safe while she waits for the tow truck. Yes, I left my wife on the side of the highway for the Iceman. I hope. Now, I could have just as easily said, I wish, because, well, we do that, right? But I didn't, because deep inside me somewhere, I was believing, I was trusting that there was something, someone at work for good on our behalf, that things were going to work out okay, even if I did miss my start time in Kalkaska. And that proved to be the case. You see, my friends, for people of faith, hope is more than wishful thinking. The writer and teacher Marva Dawn talks about the difference between hoping that and hoping in. She says it this way. Hopes in our society are usually stated in the form of "I hope that," which is very different from "I hope," which is an absolute statement. Do we believe or hope that things might become better? Or do we believe and hope in God? She goes on to say that indeed hope is a mystery. When we hope, it's not because we're privy to some special secret or knowledge. She says there is a humility to hope, that hope trusts. And while it may seem at times that hope comes easier to those who have advantages in life, like wealth or health, an example would be it's easy to say hope, you know, I hope I have good medical care here when I have great medical insurance already, and I have extra cash to pay for any overages, but that is not hope. The philosopher Gabriel Marcel's nails it when he says, "The truth is that there can be no hope except when there is the temptation to despair. Hope is the act by which this temptation, despair, is actively and victoriously overcome." You hear the bigger meaning of hope in those words. Hope is not a wish. Hope is not something that those with safety nets and other options can afford to have. Hope is not grit and effort that only the strongest can pull off. Hope is born when we're out of options, when we're out of strength, when what we had counted on is being taken away. Have you ever been there? I have. I bet you have too. But then comes this gift, this grace called hope, which helps us not only overcome that hope and not give in to that hope, but be victorious over that despair. There's one more thing you need to know about hope this morning, and that is that hope is connected to promise. Hope is connected to a promise about the days ahead. For spiritual people, that promise is that there is this force for good at work in our world, a force that helps us overcome. But for Christians, that hope gets a bit more specific. For us, that force for good is God. I think of the Old Testament prophets, for example, speaking of hope to God's people when they were dismayed because of this threat of captivity in Babylon. And then we hear words like those of Isaiah, who declared, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." The words the choir just sang as well from Handel's Messiah speak of that hope. Later, the world saw that hope in flesh, in Jesus Christ, Messiah. The Christ message is that God in Jesus acted decisively. God acted decisively and intimately to overcome the despair that takes away life. In Jesus, God delivered hope personally in Christ's life and death and resurrection, signaling that a new age has come and an old age is on the way out. You see, that's why we say, I hope in God. We hope in God, because in some mysterious but sure and certain way, in this Christ act, all is being made new. All creation, including you and I, with it, are moving together toward this glorious goal, God's reign of love and light. That's Christian hope. Now, you say, okay, Dale, I hear you, but you know, it sure seems to me like sin and death are working overtime in this world to rule it and ruin it. Where's the hope? Where's the hope in all of that? Well, let's look at the scriptures today and see what we might learn from that. You know, you're probably aware that there are different types of writings in the Bible, different kinds of literature in the Bible, including what we call apocalyptic writings or literature. Apocalyptic is a fancy word used to describe what we talk about when we speak of the end of time, the clash of good and evil, the overcoming of good over evil, the triumph of Christ in the Christian hope. Now, you're probably also aware that there's all kinds of crazy ideas out there about what that just looks like. Movies love to sensationalize it. Books glorify it. And in those stories, the body count runs high. Everything gets blown up. But at the end, humankind survives and starts over again. Some quarters of Christianity subscribe to this more sensationalized view of the end of things. And the tagline there is, Jesus is coming back. Boy, is he mad. For them, the story seems to be about scaring people into heaven. But what I want to say to you this morning is that's not the message of the Bible. That's not the message of today's scripture reading, where we hear some of this end time language. I wonder, as you listen to the text this morning, how did that settle on you? What did you hear in that? You know, thinking about Jesus' words when he likens his coming to what happened to those in the days of Noah, where they were unprepared and swept away by the flood, or those working in field and mill, and one is left behind and one is taken. Or that his coming is like a thief in the night who arrives at an unexpected hour. What do you hear in those words? You hear a tinge of judgment? You hear Jesus is coming back and he's mad? Well, I will tell you that's not the message of the scriptures. That's not the message of the scriptures. And what if we listen to these stories with confidence instead of fear? Well, if we do, what we find there is hope woven into these words of Jesus. First of all, let me say to you, Jesus is not coming back mad. If you listen closely to today's story, you hear no language of judgment toward those who are involved. And even where judgment is spelled out in the Jesus story, you know, we do call Christ, after all, the judge of the nations. It is always, always set within the promise of redemption, not destruction. Salvation and not destruction. And today's gospel story is about that too. See, Jesus is responding here to a question by one of his disciples who's wondering when the Messiah is coming. When is the end of the age? This was an important belief to the Jews. But the times are difficult. Despair is running high. Violence, corruption rules the day. It was hard living under the oppressive reign of Rome. People were longing for freedom. People were longing that Christ was that Messiah. And you can bet that those disciples were hoping that the answer Jesus gave to that question was tomorrow, right? Coming tomorrow. But that's not the answer they get. Rather, the message is, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Be ready, for the Son of Man who's coming in an unexpected hour. Now, given what we know about those times, you have to believe that they're probably a little disappointed with that answer. And then you think as well how decades later the church continued to pray, come, come Lord, quickly. The Apostle Paul was so expectant about the coming of Christ, the return of Jesus from heaven, that he even taught that some would experience it in their lifetime. Listen, I will tell you a mystery, he said. We will not all die, but we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet blast. The dead in Christ will be raised to live forever, and we who are alive will be transformed also. You know, in all these words, we hear how our hope is future-based. And we hear in all of it this message, be ready, be patient, that better day is coming. Or as the spiritual song says, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. But here we are. The year 2020 is just around the corner. We're still waiting. We're still watching. And we wonder, Why is the realm of love and light taking so much longer than it should? Is the Lord tarrying? Is this some kind of test? Is God's idea of time different than ours? Let me add this one to the questions. What about this truth that Jesus' physical coming again makes no sense at all, scientifically speaking? That it defies the laws of time and space which God established? What in the world do we do with that? I'll tell you what we often do with that. We often walk away from faith and hope altogether when some of the parts no longer work for us. We decide none of it really works any longer, that it's not important any longer. But it is, my friends, and I will tell you why, because hope is a gift that comes regardless of all of that. Hope is a gift that comes regardless of all of that. And so what do? Well, we name our struggle, as sometimes it's difficult to make sense of those ancient words of scriptures today, but also to realize along with that, that hope in God, hope in Christ, hope for the future is first and foremost born and nurtured and grown within the human heart, within the imagination of the human heart and soul. When you struggle with hope, always return to what's most important. And what's the witness there, my friends? The witness is God is with us, Emmanuel. God's not waiting until someday to give us the hope we need. God has poured out God's Spirit upon us on creation. God is alive in the lives of those who would be, as Jesus says, awake, alert, ready to receive. You see, those words are so much more than a warning for us to have our act together when Jesus comes. It's a reminder that God's reign's already begun. The good stuff is already here. There's more on the way. The unexpected hour is now. God is breaking into our lives and our world this morning. And every day, the people, the places, the joy as well as the despair, because God is imminent. And that means that hope is always about to be realized. Peace is always around the corner. Love is always about to happen. And joy is always about to break out. Somehow, some way, it will, it does. Question is, are you ready? Are you alert to receive it? I think that's an important message, especially for those who might feel despair today. You know, if you are feeling broken today, can you hear that promise that as we would step into this direction of hope, step into God's direction, that we would find the in-breaking good news in a God who's already leaning in toward us. If you're hurting in this holiday season, start with hope. Expect God to show up. Trust that you would find what you need to keep faith. Step toward the God leaning in toward you. Cool question. Thinking about all of us this morning, where in this season of Advent do you most long to see hope realized? In your life, world around you, where are you hoping for an outbreak of hope? Where do you pray for its light to shine? You know, last Friday I had the opportunity to be with Corrine Flau and her sons as her life ebbed away. And while losing such a beautiful person is sad, we also remembered so many good stories about her life and those were touched by her love, and of course as well, that hope of hopes that in Christ her life does not end. But as I think of that story, it reminds us as well, it invites us as well to be there for others, to be, if you would, love with skin on for other people. And so another question, who would you come alongside in these days before Christmas? To be that source of hope, that answer to prayer maybe. Jesus' words are calling us to be alert and ready for the times that he will prompt us and he will need us. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. That day is today. That hour is now. Christ is near. And you and I have what we need to be that hope for those who need it the most. Thanks be to God for such a high calling. Amen.